So, Hare Krishna, good morning.
Good morning.
I hope that you are better rested than me. This is your second day into the retreat. It's a very important day in the sense that we will try to present another important item or understanding for good japa this morning. Thank you. And one moment, please. I'm taking this. Hare Krishna. I really had the feeling yesterday when the day was completed and we all sat in a very, let me say, a receptive mood to hear a sacred text, the Gaga Sanghita, which described the meeting of Radha and Krishna. Yeah, there was just such a nice atmosphere, and so I was not so sure how we were going during the day, but that may be because I must admit I'm a little bit tired because we just had an intense retreat in Croatia, and for me a retreat is not a retreat, it's blood, sweat and tears. But yesterday evening, seeing how receptive the atmosphere was, I knew that you had done very intense work. See, we must know one thing. A retreat which we do for 4 or 5 days, Hare Krishna, will always be a little bit, let me say, intense, because we come from a different life altogether. We are either busy in our devotional lives, and now because many of you are congregational devotees, you're busy in your studies in the universities and your different projects, and then human beings are not like machines. You can't switch them off in a few minutes and then switch them on to a total different reality. It takes time. And in the retreats, which japa retreats, which we are giving, we really combine two things. It's not just a retreat; it's an education which is given with information, and then of course there is also the retreat where you go into your private space, so to say, your inner private space. So I know it is. Let us have no doubts. It is work. It's spiritual work. But I'm very grateful to see that you are surrendering to this work, because especially in the beginning of trying to make retreats, the different devotees who do this, we form a little group. We expressed our difficulties, because it was just so new for devotees that some of them were just overly challenged and their tensions came out and blew up during the retreats. But this is a very pleasant and very, very nice. So I request you to keep your focus and energy. These are the two things you require on a japa retreat. focus and energy. Yes, we always say relax and breathe and relax and relax, but we relax you so that you have more focus and more energy. This is behind it. Having said this much, we will now go directly into today's subject matter, which is surprising. Meeting Krishna in separation. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has composed as a summary, you could say, or a guide through the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Archamarichimala, and there he has given topics which you find in the Bhagavatam and verses. He has given devotional topics and verses from the Bhagavatam which explain these devotional topics. And one big topic obviously is the holy name and how to chant it in the best way. And as an Bhagavatam first verse which informs and enlightens us how to chant it in the best way, he has given this particular verse. This is, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the mood in which the chanting should be done. So let us read it. We are, as always, a little bit out of time, so we will go a little fast. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Ajata Paksha Iva Mataram Kaga.
Ajata Paksha Iva Mataram Kaga.
Stanyam Yatavat Satara Churata.
Stanyam Yatavat.
Priyam priyeva vushitam vishanna.
Priyam priyeva vushitam vishanna.
Mano ravindaksha dridikshate tvam.
Mano ravindaksha dridikshate tvam.
Ajata paksha iva matarankaga.
Ajata paksha.
Tanyam yatavat satarakshudata.
Tanyam yatavat satarakshudata.
Priyam priyeva vyushitam vishanna.
Priyam priyeva vyushitam vishanna.
Mano ravindaksha dridikshate
tvam.
Translation. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings, always look for their mother to return and feed them. Oh, I should say, before I start, so that you can really dive into the verse. This verse will describe to you three different temperatures of intensity. Of intensity to yearn for Krishna. And I request you to find out these different moods which are given in this shloka. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings, always look for the mother to return and feed them. I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. As small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. Or, as a morose wife whose husband is away from home, always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. Purport. A pure devotee always yearns to associate personally with the Lord and render service unto him. The examples given in this regard are most appropriate. A small bird is practically never satisfied except when the mother bird comes to feed it. A small calf is not satisfied unless allowed to suck the milk from the mother's udder. And a chaste, devoted wife whose husband is away from home is never satisfied until she has the association of her beloved husband. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, this ushers us into a very, very confidential secret. Prabhupada writes about this secret. Worship in separation. You know, the bird is separated but yearns for mother bird. The calf is not, mother is not there, or mother is away, but there is separation. And the calf wants to drink the milk. Or these two examples are very much object related. That is food and milk related also. I mean food related in both cases. But then the third example is an example of a wife whose husband is absent, maybe on a pilgrimage or on a business tour, and who, or on a GBC meeting, and who doesn't come, and the wife sits at home, maybe with an aratik plate to wait for him and to receive him. Hare Krishna, don't laugh, this is serious. yearns for the person to return, person related. So first we may start with our feelings of separation, also let us say object related, pleasure. We want to have pleasure in our bhajan, and we want to have taste. But we also will arise to the fact that we will yearn for just Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So Prabhupada writes about this. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya, that's us, to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and even neglected by the Lord. Thus he addresses the Lord as Dinadayatranata, Lord of the wretched, as did Madhavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. So, this is our amazing transcendental school. We learn that the whole problem of our material existence, of our existence, is that we are separated from Krishna. Oh, how nice that the curtain goes up so that we are together, at least sitting together with this Radha Gopinath again. Oh, Pujariji, you are saving us this morning. Thank you so a million times. Hare Krishna. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai. So, separation, or when the curtain is drawn between you and Krishna, is the origin of all our trouble. When we are separated from a loving relationship with Krishna, then we turn around to develop a relationship to the objects of the world and develop a misidentification, as we learned yesterday. When you make a relationship with anything, then an identification arises. Because we have to return back to Krishna's original, to the original relationship to Krishna, we have to go through the same door which we entered into the world. We have to go out. It's almost like in this temple. There is this door, and you come into this door, and if you want to leave the temple, you have to go through the doors. Look at the windows. It's not possible. That would be an option, but not in Radha Desh. No one can leave through the windows here. So, in the world also, we enter through separating from Krishna, this world, and we exit this the spiritual dimension. I don't want to now start a philosophical discussion of where we came from. So let's say we exited the spiritual dimension, whatever that means. Yamasaki is writing in an article about, isn't it? Yeah. So we can read Yamasaki's article after it is corrected by Yadunandan Maharaj. And then we have the picture, the true picture. So to go back to Krishna, we must also go through the separations, through feelings, separation from Krishna. We must go through the same point where we have done the mistake, but this time do it in the right direction. Jagadananda Pandit writes about this in a very, very wonderful way, which is just extremely telling. He describes how the living entity forgets his constitutional position as an eternal servant of Krishna, who's perfect and pure, and then becomes a slave of Maya. And then he describes, it's in Prema Vivata, how the living entity begins to start a journey through the material world, a journey which brings him through all the different planetary systems and life forms even, and wombs, a journey to look for satisfaction. But finally, when he comes in contact with a saintly person, his whole perception changes. He begins to understand, my God, my true identity, my true relationship is in relationship to Krishna. I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. And at that time, when we are enlightened by such a knowledge, we just don't want this material entanglement any longer. Can you relate to this? Where you just feel, I have enough of this. And at that time you lament, and this is, you begin to feel separation from Krishna. Alas! Kena vabajino maya kara haya haya. Haya haya means alas, ove, ove. How do we say in Belgium? Ove. Ove, huh? Yes, it is ove, yes. Ove. In Croatian we say ovaya. No? Philip looks at me with a question mark. It's not ovaya, in other words. How do we say alas? We never say it in Croatian. Okay. Alas! Oh, weh! Why have I served this illusory material energy for long? You need to come to this state, my dear devotees. He bitterly regrets and cries out, Krishna!
Krishna!
Not like that. It is much more intense. Krishna!
Krishna!
My Lord!
My Lord!
I am your eternal servant.
I am your eternal servant.
Wow, this sounds like a gospel. Ever since I left the shelter.
Ever since I left the shelter.
Of your lotus feet.
Of your lotus feet.
My life has been completely devastated.
My life has been completely devastated.
Wonderful, wonderful. Good morning. So, Lord Krishna waits really for this. It says, Kripa Kori Krishna Tare Charana Sangsara Kakuti. Kakuti means crying. Kariya Krishna Jadi Dakekpa. Lord Krishna is so merciful that if anyone appeals to him earnestly, he immediately releases the jiva from material entanglement. You need to do, it's called Atma Krandan. You need to cry from the soul for Krishna. And then Lord Krishna does something. When he sees that you regret and that you really feel, my Lord, I'm your eternal servant ever since I left the shelter of your lotus feet. My life has been completely devastated. Now, this verse is very important for those who write about this subject matter. I can supply you with the verses. Then Krishna hears this, and he immediately fortifies such a person with his transcendental internal potency. What means fortifies? He makes a protective covering, like a fort, you know. He gives you almost like a protective armor. You know, the knights of old times had an armor. I think in Radhadesh I once saw an armor. It's, no? The knight? No. Maybe in my imagination. Then Krishna gives you protection, in other words. And this overbearing power of the Lord's spiritual potency weakens Maya's influence on the living entity. My dear devotees, in summary, Krishna waits that we cry, that alas, or that we regret bitterly and lament, why have I served this illusory energy? I'm actually a Krishna Das, but I have become a Maya Das. Or Maya Dasi. I've become a Maya. I'm a Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi. I've become a Maya Das or Maya Dasi. This is not good. And then when Krishna sees that you turn to him, he gives you protection, because you alone are not able to conquer or cross the samsara on your own. It's not possible. One heavy wave of Maya, and we are swept off our feet and feel uncomfortable in the Japa retreat. Only Maya needs to, I mean, she doesn't even need to make this much effort. It's just, she just could tune the three gunas a little bit more, you know, arrange a little test which we can't pass, and we are gone. So Krishna when you turn to him in this mood, my dear Krishna, I have become a Maya Das or Maya Dasi. Please accept me as your servant. When Krishna sees that, he gives you the strength and then weakens Maya's influence on the living entity or on you. So this mood, this feeling of Krishna, I long for you. Here is your lost servant in this world, your Maya, your Dasa who has become a Maya Das. This feeling is necessary when you chant the holy name. Like this verse says, you should yearn for Krishna to again accept you. This mood is of course called in Sanskrit vipralamba. It's interesting if you break the Sanskrit word down what vipralamba means. Vipra means distance, you know, and lamba means to attain. This mood of feeling separation, in other words, is a method to attain that or him who lies in the distance. Now this is totally perplexing to us. What? I mean, if I'm separated from someone, how do I attain him? By just acknowledging the fact that there is separation between us. I mean, when there is a nice, I have my friends, you know, we are international movement, so I have international friends. So how, when I feel sorry, oh, where is Burijan with his wisdom and his humor? Oh, where is Radhanath Maharaj with his kindness and his devotional depths? How, when I feel like this, do I attain my friends? This could be asked. But there is a secret you must know about Krishna, one of the many things. Krishna is not different from his name, but Krishna is also not different from his remembrance, if we remember him. When we feel separated from Krishna, and we feel that separation, it means we think of Krishna. And alright, maybe externally or from one perspective, Krishna is eternally on this spurt in Goloka Vrindavan. He's herding the cows and having his pastimes with his devotees. So I may feel that there is externally a distance, if I feel like that. I mean, we could philosophically argue, where is the spiritual world? Is it really a distance and miles away? Or I would say the distance is really in consciousness. But let us just, to make things simple, Krishna is distant, the devotee at least feels he is distant from me. If the devotee can think of Krishna with feelings of separation, Krishna comes in his heart. This is the secret about Krishna. He's fully there. Not partially, but as a vritti. Vritti means a thought function of the mind. No, Krishna comes, is actually there in the heart. To give you a little example, I would like to give you the example of my grandmother, just so that we can think in this direction. My grandmother only had one child, which is my father. Who is my father? And my father was fighting in Stalingrad, the last battle of Hitler's army, against the Red Army, that is the Russians. And news came into Germany that all the German army had been defeated by the Red Army, And the last battle in Stalingrad had already been fought. The Russians had, wie sagt man, umzingelt. Surrounded. They had surrounded the German army, and they did this in the winter. The Germans had no food and no energy. It was, you know, what my father has told me about this last battle. Oh, it was just so cruel, you know. Finally, they started to eat the people who had just died, you know, because they were so hungry. And they didn't want to surrender to the Red Army. It was really inhuman. Better you don't even know about this last battle in detail. I will only tell you in principle. So they were surrounded, and they were constantly bombed with this... It starts with K, these... something like this, Russian. And they were starved to death, and they just, you know, it was... And they just wouldn't surrender. So it was clear for the Russians they had to kill the whole German pest. You know, then... So this was the news, and it was really true. You can read this in the history grounds. And my grandmother now, who loved her only son, said, no, he will come back. In 2 weeks he will be here. 2 weeks? Mimi, you better surrender to the fact that you have lost your son. Everyone has died. Not Ernst Günther. He has not died, said Mimi. And then one day before he came, before the 2 weeks were over, I mean, you already know that he returned because I'm here. I'm at so I can give away so one day before my grandmother gathered the ingredients of Grießbrei, the favorite food of my father at that time. Grießbrei is farina cooked in milk. Now, there was no real milk available. There were no raisins and no nuts. It has to be raisins and nuts inside in that preparation. But she cooked something like this preparation. Everyone thought, really, now you really go. He doesn't come. No, at 12 o'clock he will be here, my grandmother said. And then everyone thought, no, it can't be. But at 12 o'clock the little gate at the garden made, and there my father, very hungry, skinny, bombed with 50 Krasnovskis, or whatever the word is, came and ate, had his Grießbrei, his preparation. So she was so much connected in her mind that she just knew these things and knew this. Now, in Krishna consciousness, we try to feel separate, we try to remember Krishna and not forget him, and in this way feel connected. What is separation in Krishna consciousness? I would like to give you a little insight from a very important Vaishnava scripture, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In the second part of this wonderful, wonderful work, we find how Narada Muni comes into Dwaraka chanting Krishna's name and chanting how Krishna is the friend of his devotees, and just sees so much in ecstasy. He stumbles through the roads of Dwaraka to one of the palace of Krishna. Now there is a great problem in that palace. Krishna has not gotten up. He's too late. Why? He had a very, very intense night where Krishna was feeling the separation of his dearest devotees in Vrindavan, the gopis, and he was crying under the layer of the blanket. So when Narada Muni came in and said, asked about the gopis are Krishna's dearest devotees, and all the Yadavas who sat on the terrace discussing what to do with Krishna, who's so sad, they said, they were discussing, and so on and so forth. And finally, in this discussion group on the terrace before Krishna's bedroom, Balaram says, they are discussing. Finally, they see in the door Krishna coming. And Krishna's eyes are washed from the tears. All the cosmetics are washed down. He's just totally beside himself, thinking of his devotees in Vrindavan. And he feels really pangs of separation. And then Balaram says that you talks about these devotees. He says, these devotees will not die out of starvation, Krishna, because they always drink the nectar of your names. But if you don't return to Vrindavan, these devotees will die in a forest fire. Because of this intense mood of separation, the great forests of Braj, like the Bandi Ravana forest, are totally dry, and in a dry forest there always comes fire. We know this in the Atriya. There is always, you don't find developed forests any longer, because always forest fires have devoured these forests. This happens when it gets too dry and too hot. So because in Vrindavan there's this heat of separation from Krishna, Balaram says, your devotees will die when the forest of Bandiravan catches fire. Now this word Bandiravan triggers something in Krishna. Krishna had many of his pastimes in Bandiravan. Please look at this picture behind you. This apparently shows Giriraj. I think it shows Giriraj. No? Is that the idea? Not 100% clear, but such pastimes were always taking place in Bandiravan. So when Krishna, whose nature is so gentle, and who is tormented if he hears about the suffering of others, hears this, that Balaram says, your devotees will all burn in a forest fire, he grabs Balaram by the neck, sheds a flood of tears, like a person whose life is totally ruined, and cries in his beautiful voice. The tears go all over his body and wash his body and all the decorations. And finally, he just can't take it any longer. He falls with Balaram on the ground and rolls with Balaram on the ground then faints. Now this is a grievous problem. If God faints and is out, you know, what will happen to the creation? What will happen to his devotees? What will happen to anything? All of Krishna's family members come, and terrible omens happen in the universe, so terrible that Brahma, the creator of the universe, fearing that the universe will go to ruin, comes down to Dwaraka and sees Krishna crying and fainting and being completely ruined on the ground, just thinking, my devotees. It's not only that the devotees fear separation, the Lord also creates separation from the devotees. And then Brahma comes and he thinks, what to do now? And he gets an idea. He calls Garuda, and Garuda brings the two lords, Krishna and Balaram, on his back and flies them to a particular garden in Dwaraka, which is a reconstruction of Vrindavan. When you go in the in Munich, for instance, we just once had a wonderful preaching program at a lake, and just in the English garden, and within the English garden, you find the Chinese garden, the Japanese garden, and it looks Chinese in the Chinese garden, and Japanese in the Japanese garden. You almost hear boom, 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 one drop falling into a bowl. Boom. It's totally Japanese and Chinese and very meditative and all. So here Krishna has the Vrindavan gardens in Dwaraka. They are called Nava Vrindavan, Neu Vrindavan, New Vrindavan. So all the devotees come and see to this gardens and hide and wait what will happen if Krishna wakes up from his faint. Only Narada feels very much ashamed because he started all this by talking about the gopis. And he hides in the yoga asana in the clouds and looks down from above. What will happen now? Now what happens is very beautiful. I will go quickly through it. Balaram wakes up first and sees we are in New Vrindavan. He understands it. And he immediately dresses Krishna in a yellow dhoti, his Vrindavan dhoti, and puts his flute inside. And Krishna wakes up and thinks, wow, I just slept a little. I'm in Vrindavan. He forgets about Dwaraka. He sees then a puppet of Yashoda, which is made there, and he goes to Yashoda and says, oh, Yashoda, I'm sorry, I'm a little late. I had a nightmare. I dreamt I was out of Vrindavan, and I was the king of some crazy town. But I'm all right now. And Yashoda looks at him like a puppet looks. And in her hand is a little butter and mishri, sugar. See, every morning Mother Yashoda was afraid if Krishna leaves and goes to the forest, he will starve. So she had butter and sugar as energy food in her hand to give to Krishna. And Krishna also now sees the butter and sugar in Yashoda's hand and just catches it and eats it and then is off to go and herd the cows. Finally he meets Radharani, and he sees Radharani as a statue standing there, and he says, did I offend you? Oh Radha, you are omniscient. You must know everything that happened today in my dream. In my dream I left you and went elsewhere. In that distant place I married many princesses, Mike, who had been preparing to end their lives. And I was the father of sons, grandsons and great grandsons. Anyway, now I'm all right again. I have to go to the forest. Tonight at dusk, O bestower of satisfaction, we will meet in the forest of Vrindavan and we will enjoy many pastimes. Then Krishna takes a handful of flowers and lovingly throws these flowers over Radharani, looks around if anyone sees him, and then just rushes to this doll of Radharani and just secretly kisses her. Hare Krishna. Then Krishna goes ahead with the many cows and cowherd boys. Now when he begins to look for drinking water, he sees in the distance the mighty roaring waves of the sea. And as he goes closer to the sea, he sees, my God, Yamuna has become so big. It's like an ocean. Then he looks at the towering gopurams of his own city, Dwaraka, and says, where am I? This is not Vrindavan. What is this? Where am I? And who am I? So at this moment, Baladev steps in and reminds me very quickly, Krishna, you came on the request of the demigods. You are the Lord of all that is, and you have descended to remove the burden of the earth. The demons torture the devotees. Krishna says, okay. He snaps into his mood of the king of Dwaraka, and he says, where are those demons? Balaram, situation is saved. Krishna is no longer in this mood. Where is Vrindavan and where are the gopis? He's in the Veera mood. He just wants to complete his avatar mission. And then Balaram goes with him in the sea. They bathe. And Garuda arrives, and Krishna, unseen by others, returns on Garuda to the palace. Now, at this moment, Krishna wants to talk about what is in his heart, about the separation, about Vipralamba. He calls all his family members and he says, what is separation? It is true, Krishna says, that when one is parted from those one loves, pure love makes one suffer within as if from a blazing forest fire. The burning pain creates a remorse that further deepens into irrepressible sorrow. Thus, one at first seems to be wretched. So Krishna says, yes, separation is painful and it makes you feel wretched. My life is ruined. But this anguish of separation, Krishna continues, is praised as greater than the happiness of enjoying with those one loves. Separation is so pleasing to the mind that it just cannot be described. Krishna, Sanatana Goswami explains, it only looks miserable from the outside. But inside, a person who feels separation from Krishna feels incomparable bliss. Why? Do you know why? Because Krishna is non-different from his thought of him. And when you think intensely of him, separation is an intense feeling, as we hear, an intense emotional feeling. You think intensely of Krishna, and Krishna is intensely in your heart. Hari Bol. Can you understand this? Those of you who are not fast asleep. It's not, in other words, that the separation in this mood comes from the eventual meeting, like when you are hungry, then that is good. We say it's good. The pain of your hunger is good. Because why it's good? Because then you can eat really like anything, you know. And then, but in itself, the hunger is miserable in the stomach. I can see some of you are still good and good digestion. You feel miserable at this time of the day. It's good that you have hunger because then you can really eat everything. Sweets, maha, milk products, pizza. Gone are the days. And so on. But see, it's not good that you are hungry. It's good that you can then eat and be fully satisfied. Separation is not like this, that you feel, okay, yeah, now you're in the mood, you want Krishna, oh, I'm feeling so separated. And really, there's misery, but it's good that then you can attain Krishna. No, no. Separation it's in itself has its deepest spiritual value, because in it, you have Krishna in your heart. That's an interesting subject. It's very different than mundane psychology. Now, Sanatana Goswami says, because this is so difficult to understand, how separation, which appears to be misery, is not misery. So he gives a material example to help clarify this point. He says, although the coldness of ice is the opposite of the heat of fire, ice placed on one's body may feel as hot as burning coal. Do you know this experience? In the winter, you put ice, there's ice, and you put it on your body, and somehow the illusory appearance is that it's hot. It's not. So, in this example, the burning sensation from the ice is illusory and the numbing coldness of the ice is real. Similarly, the pain of viraha bhava is a false appearance disguising the reality of indescribable joy. My dear devotees, do you remember Krishna, Prabhupada always said, don't try to meet Krishna. Huh? And now we hear here that if we, that in chanting, we can also, we should not think, oh, Krishna has now to dance on my tongue. When do I see him? when do I see him? No, not yet there. That's not the feeling we should aspire for. Or as Prabhupada said, we should not aspire to find Krishna behind some bush in Vrindavan. Feel the separation. Allow yourself this beautiful verses of Jagadananda Pandit, where you say, alas, alas, I am a Krishna Das, but I have become a Maya Das. You should think about this. My dear Krishna, please again accept me in your service. That is what is desired in chanting. That is what is the fulfillment of your chanting. I'm saying this because on Friday you have ample opportunity to relish this feeling of separation when you feel separated from Krishna on the 64 rounds day. Oh, I wish I would be more Krishna conscious. Now I have to chant some more rounds. At that moment, you shouldn't allow that your mind goes into how miserable, how poor I am. This, I made this mistake. Now I've paid already the japa retreat. I have to go through this, you know. And anyways, what will I say to my friends if they ask me, what did you do on the 64 rounds day? And I'm always too risk-taking. No, it's good that you feel separated, but feel differently. See, when you feel separation for your sense gratification, then you turn into misery. But when you feel separation that, oh, I can't serve Krishna, then you go uplift the feeling and you come into what is the real thing. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says, and this is the last thing, last point. Now, please give it all you get. It's a little bit intense now. The language will challenge your abilities to understand, but you can make it. Please give it all you got. In a few minutes, we stop. Now the last, be present. The feeling of separation from Krishna, is Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, or transcendent Vipralamba, is the only practice by which the spiritual soul can achieve perfection. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur will tell us what exactly this feeling of separation is and how it's different from material feelings of separation. Material feelings of separation give rise to despondency. It means despair, misery. That reveals the attachment one has for matter. Whereas the despondency or despair that results from feelings of separation from Krishna are the best proof of one's desire to bring pleasure to his senses. The desire to bring pleasure to Krishna's senses, shown by Madhavendra Puri, the great soul, is the ideal example to follow for anyone who wishes to serve the Lord. It is especially worth remarking that Mahaprabhu and his closest followers later adopted this example and made it their standard. So this is the secret. Don't be just dry and then lament for yourself. Oh no, I'm so dry. Where's my bed? You know, No. Feel. I'm dry because I'm not. I'm so much a Maya Das. It's a scandal with me. I must become a Krishna Das and serve Krishna again. Then you will not go in material feelings of material lamentation or it's so hard, it's so difficult, it's so thing. Tune into what we have learned yesterday, Sambandha. You know that I'm a soul. I'm now, and Krishna is my master, and then get into this relationship, and you will see how your chanting flies. Your chanting gets the wings of an eagle, and you start to fly over immaturity in chanting, and go very nice. My dear devotees, this is so dear to my heart that I really wish to share this with you. My dear devotees, there were times, you know, I'm not so normal, unfortunately, where I really wanted to chant as much as I could. At 3 o'clock, I got up in the morning and I stopped at 10 o'clock, and during this time, there were times where I really felt depleted and dry and so on, because I'm not advanced. I'm just thick-headed and stubborn. But I just learned that at the end of the day, that was maybe the most valuable experience in life, to really understand I am away from Krishna. I would love to be back with Krishna and serve him in some little way. And that little click, you know, that little shift of consciousness, of not lamenting for your own self, but understanding you are meant to give enjoyment to Krishna, not lament when your enjoyment is finished. That makes the whole difference. That's the in your Krishna consciousness. So today, we will obviously not be able to teach you the mood of intense separation. This you can't talk. about or teach in this sense. But we will teach or we will learn a very, very interesting subject, to be fully present in the present. It's called in many different traditions by different names. We call it chant one mantra, be with one mantra at a time. And you will learn to connect with yourself. And when you connect with yourself, with what's there, and with your japa, you will most probably begin to feel over the back door. Also, you will enter these divine and sublime feelings. Hare Krishna. I have come to the end. There's so much more to say, but you know, we don't have so much time in the morning classes, and it's all right. Any questions, my dear devotees? But not just questions for, I mean, and do you have a question relating to the subject matter? Jai Bhadra. Jai Bhadra, the auspicious one. Jai Bhadra, Mataji. Please ask your question. Yes. In this example of the wife waiting for her husband, and it says to return so that the husband satisfies her in all respects. There's a very important thing. Now, I don't want to go into sexual psychology at this moment, I mean, because we don't speak about this in detail. We sometimes hear in the purport something about this, but not, we are a monastic order. But it is known if you that the greatest amount of satisfaction comes not when you wish to be satisfied, but when you give satisfaction to the lover. But I'm trying. Can you tell me where the 11:26. I would like, yeah, here. Prabhupada translates it here, O lotus-eyed Lord, as, and he talks first about the birds, then about the calves, and then about the morose life, wife. O lotus-eyed Lord, a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects. In the same way, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. I think, yes, it's all about service. Also, maybe it's here, the way I understand the verse here means, yes, she apparently waits and she has the mood, I can't stand it without my husband any longer. I hope he comes and then I'm again all right. So in that same way, you say, you feel, I can't stand it without Krishna. I want to give him direct service. It's very important, Jai Bhadra Prabhu's question is very important. You enter association with Krishna only if you have this service spirit. Not that's the only way you can approach Krishna. Krishna is Rasa Raj, the king of enjoying all rasas, not you. That place is already occupied by him. our ego sometimes wishes to push Krishna from the throne, right? And sit itself on the throne. But that's called material, the beginning of material life. What do you say?
Question.
Yeah, it's... Is it all right, Jai Bhatta? Thank you. Yes.
My question is about separation and unity from Krishna. Why would separation be on higher platform than unity? If you separate from someone, it means your mind is focused and completely absorbed in Krishna. Mm-hmm. But to create unity, if you are close to Krishna, not only that your mind, but also all your senses are also completely absorbed. You can see, you can smell, you can hear Krishna. So why is the separation is higher?
Yeah. Why is separation even higher than, or Vipralamba even higher than Sambhoga? In Sambhoga you serve Krishna with all your senses, in separation only with the mind. I would like to read you something from Prabhupada on this. A person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness always feels separation from Krishna, because such a feeling of separation excels the feeling of meeting Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his last 12 years of existence within this world at Jagannath Puri, taught the people of the world how, with a feeling of separation, one can develop his dormant love for Krishna. Such feelings of separation, listen to this now, sleepers awake. Such feelings of separation or meeting with Krishna are different stages of love of God. I read it like this. Such feelings of separation are meetings with Krishna. These feelings develop in time when a person seriously engages in devotional service. Dina Dayal, the point is, somehow when you feel separated from Krishna, Krishna is present there. Devotees have said, if I should choose between meeting Krishna and separation from Krishna, I would choose separation, because in meeting I only see one Krishna, in separation he comes from all directions. There's a verse like this. It's inconceivable to us. But I must really tell you, in the spiritual world, they mutually are together. The Rupa Goswami describes this as at the embankment of a river. There's one beach called the separation and the other the Sambhoga. There's Vipralamba and Sambhoga. The river needs both, you know. So union is only possible to meet, or meeting is only possible if there is separation. Separation is only possible when there is meeting. Just like the, you know, you never find a river with only one bank. It needs two banks. So Krishna consciousness, or this consciousness which we are describing, needs these two feelings. Huh? For us, it's more for us here in this world. Vipralamba is more important. Is more relevant, because yes, we are separated in our consciousness from Krishna. It's more real. It's more relevant. It's more. But even when you chant properly Hare Krishna, please remember the times when you were really feeling, oh Krishna, oh Krishna. You could really feel Krishna consciousness, you know how it is. Isn't it? We all have this feeling. Sometimes, maybe after a surgery, when we're really down on our knees and nothing makes sense except for Krishna. Oh Krishna, oh Krishna. Or when something has gone wrong or has turned sour again, like it does in the material world, and then we can really turn to Krishna, because we have no other shelter, and we feel, oh Krishna, you are my only savior, and then we feel Krishna conscious.
Isn't it then meeting? Isn't it then meeting?
It's meeting and separation. As you are no devotee, so please rest assured. These feelings develop in time, my dear. What is your good name?
Richard.
Richard, wow. These feelings develop in time when a person seriously engages in devotional service. Please engage seriously in devotional service, and Richard, you will get it. Richard, but I also have one question. When is prasadam? please excuse me, but we are 9:15. You can come, and I will answer it individually, your question. You will can come right now, because we need to go with this. I can't now talk longer because I'm out of time already, but I will tell you practically what this means, this lecture, in the workshop. We will meet together at 11:45 in the retreat room, and please come well rested, because we will have... Actually, it's pleasant, the work which we will have to do. But please come well rested. I know that some of you were really tired, and I think those were the good souls who made it for Mangal Arati. So please do take sufficient rest so that you can enjoy everything very nicely. I wish you a wonderful second day of our retreat. All the best, and Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna.